Hey, what up, y'all? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. Welcome to an all-new Hustling with Vivica A. Fox. We are going bigger and bolder. That's right, darlings. I'm your go-to girl for people, ideas, knowledge, inspiration, faith, love, trust, success, and of course, fun. Okay? Your hustle's going to get an upgrade, and the most surprising, exciting, fabulous guests from all walks of life. So, darlings, you're in good hands. Don't forget to subscribe and download to Hustling with Vivica A. Fox. Okay, y'all. I got a triple threat for y'all today. Yes, I do, honey. This guest can sing. She can act. She can dance. She's appeared alongside the fabulous, oh my God, the legend, Michael Jackson in the This Is It tour. She's also currently starring on ABC's The Rookie. Please welcome this beautiful actress, Makia Cox. Hey, Makia.
Hi, Vivica. How you doing?
I'm good, girl. How you like that introduction, boo?
I like that introduction a lot. I need you to just come around with me and introduce me like that to everyone.
Right. You just get on the red carpet, and before you step on the red carpet, yes. You go, hold on. This is my Hello. Entry music, okay?
Hello.
All right. Done by your girl, Vivica A. Fox. Well, welcome. Welcome to Hustling with Vivica A. Fox podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
You're welcome. You know, I always tell my guests that, you know, when you come on the show, I'm all about celebrating careers. And you, young lady, I heard at 2.5 years old was like, Eureka, I know what I'm going to do. Tell us this story about you at 2.5 years old, coming off the stage and telling your mama, this is it, honey. I have found it.
That is exactly what happened. So I started dancing at a really young age. I'm originally from St. Croix in the Virgin Islands.
Oh my gosh, I love the Virgin Islands.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm like Jamaican. I started at the Virgin Islands. Hello. And now I go to Jamaica all the time. So okay. I'm an island girl too.
I like it.
Yes.
Well, I was born in Christiansted, St. Croix, and lived there until I was 7 years old.
Okay.
But I started dancing at a really early age. Around 2.5. I guess I must have just been all over the place because my parents were like, we got to do something to sort of hone in this energy. So they took me to a dance teacher. Her name is Linda Rieger. She's an amazing dance teacher, love her to this day. Aww. And she sort of took me under her wing and she said, let me deal with her.
Were you a hyper child? Because I was my mother's hyper child. I was doing cartwheels, dancing, girl, yes. Putting a towel on my head, yes. Tossing yes. it like it was hair. You know what I mean? My mother was like, this child right here.
So I remember doing cartwheels in a grocery store. And my mom was like, you can't do that. And I was like, why not? I don't understand.
What?
The funny thing is, I think I was always like outgoing in terms of performing or not necessarily, I wouldn't even call it outgoing. It was just sort of like, I was just practicing. Like, I want to practice my cartwheel. I want to practice my walkover. Now seems like a good time in the middle of a grocery store. So I think it was more so that otherwise, outside of performing was sort of my way of like getting outside of my shell. You know what I mean? Otherwise, I think I was a little bit around my friends and completely an extrovert. But otherwise I'm a little bit of an introvert. You know
really?
What I mean?
I think so, surprising. Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, people don't get that about performers, that once you hit that stage, that magic, it's yes. like a light comes on and you either yes. have it or you don't. And then like me, when I'm not working, I kind of like being on the low, doing my yep. thing, running my errands, living my little life, yep. being happy, living yep. my life. Yep. Do you know what I mean? But the yep. second one is showtime, it's yep. on like popcorn.
It's on. It's
so
on.
I want to know, now that I know you're from the island, how yeah. did you, your life go from dancing to then coming Hollywood? What was that transition?
So I moved to Orlando first. So I left. Yeah, we left when I was in 89. I was 7. And we left. We moved to Orlando. And my parents wanted to go to Orlando rather than coming to out here to Los Angeles or going straight to New York. Because they wanted me and my brother They wanted us to have a sort of normal upbringing, but still have a chance to get our feet wet when it came to acting or singing or dancing. So when I first got to Orlando, I auditioned for Disney to be a kid of the kingdom. And we got to dance in the Christmas Spectacular and the Easter parades. And it was a ton of fun for, you know, a little 7-year-old girl. I thought I had made it.
So now we go to Orlando. You're dancing Christmas, you know, at Disney World. I mean, what a great way to grow up as a kid, you know?
It's true. It was a really fun upbringing for sure. Yeah. Then I went from there. I went to a performing arts high school, Dr. Phillips High School, go DP. From there, I moved on to doing musical theater as my major at Florida State University. Where I sort of honed all of my skills. And after that, I went on tour for a couple of years. So I did Fame, the musical for a year, a national tour. And then we did Smokey Joe's Cafe for the second year. And I happened to just fall into an agent who was out here rather than being in New York.
Okay.
And so it was that thing that happened where she was like, why don't you just come out and visit? You can stay for like, you can stay with me. This is a friend of a friend. So we kind of knew each other. She was like, you can stay with me just to see what it's like out here in LA and audition. And so I was like, okay. So I did that and I stayed with her for a week. A week then turned into a month, which then turned into like a year, which turned into now I've been here for 15 years.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Now, to Hollywood, did that come through dancing or acting?
A little bit of both. So I started off, it's that funny thing that LA does where it lures you in.
Yes, it does.
It lures you in and then it drops you off.
Then reality happens. Oh, reality now I got to get another job. Okay.
There we go. That's what happened. So I booked, the first job I booked was a recurring role on One Tree Hill.
Okay.
And the weird thing about that was it was not, which I've never had happen since, but it was not shooting until October. And I auditioned in like July or August or something like that.
Yeah,
so there was some time before I actually had to go do the show. So at the time I was still doing the tour so that it kind of ended up working out. But when I was done with the tour, I came back out here and I auditioned for two other things. So essentially, the first three things that I auditioned for out here, I ended up booking.
You know,
so
that's
I thought,
like,
oh, this is right. So I thought this. Oh, this is what it's going to be like. This is amazing. Okay, I got this. You know. So when I finally decided to actually make the move here, I didn't get work for a year.
Wow. Okay. Well, were you like me and had to wait on tables?
Yeah. Oh, that
yeah, I know.
So well.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something, young lady. I was working at LA Pasta and Pizza in the Beverly Center, and I had just landed my first job on a soap opera. Well, when you first start on a soap opera, you don't work that much. So I used to make good money waiting on tables. So until I got an official contract on the weekends, I would still be like, What would you like on your pizza? Right. You want pepperoni? You want extra cheese? I sure would. I sure was, because I was a hustler. You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
So where did you work at in before that whole year that you didn't work? Do you remember?
So there are two places. This is kind of a funny story. Me starting out, I was like, all right, you know, I know that like I've never worked at a restaurant before, so I'm just going to be upfront and honest. I don't really have a resume, but I'll bring my actor's resume.
And how did that go for you?
Not well.
Oh, no. Well. Yeah.
They were like, what is this? And I was like, well, it's just to show you that I am a professional and I can work. And they were like, no.
Wow. So
I was like, okay, that's not going to work. So then I had a friend who is, she's been in the restaurant business for a while. She was like, look, you can put me down as your manager. They can call me. Just say, I will fake it for you.
Yes, fake it till you make it, honey. Welcome to Hollywood.
That was the lesson.
Okay, so then you start working though.
Well, actually what ended up happening was I was horrible at I worked at a place called Lucy 51 that was in Toluca Lake. Uh-huh. And I worked at a place across
Lucy's
the street.
51.
Do you know? Okay. Yes, okay. Yes. So I worked there and then I worked at a place across the street from Sony. There's a, I don't know why I'm blanking on the name right now, but it's a karaoke bar.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever been there. It was
margaritas? Yeah, I'm trying to remember that down at the end of like Burbank or whatever. What is that street? I don't know what that street is, but there's a karaoke place that has great margaritas.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. It's not that.
Not
no,
that
this was this. The reason I stopped working there and left and went to Lucy's 51 was because it was so far away in Culver City. This one is across the street from Sony. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm thinking Valley. There's two of them.
Okay. Yeah. So eventually, but both of them I weren't good at. I wasn't good at. So. So eventually I was like, wait, what am I thinking? Why am I doing this? I am a dancer. Like that's something else that I can offer up. I need to be doing that. And so, luckily at the time I was able to get into, Block Dance Agency and, I started dancing and, I think one of the first like biggest things was, Rihanna's Umbrella, being, a little kind of backup model dancer in that. So, that is, it's funny because now I'm kind of known as a dancer, as if that, and honestly, it works because that is where I started when I was 2.5 years old.
Yeah.
But when I first got out here, what I was pursuing was acting.
Okay.
But, so when Michael came along.
Yeah. So let's let our fans know. Wait, y'all. She's not talking about just any Michael, y'all. I love the way she said that. When Michael came along, we are talking about legend Michael Jackson. You were cast to be one of the featured dancers in his final tour. This Is It tour, correct?
That's correct.
How many times did you have to audition?
Okay, so this is also another story. First of all, it was a lot of dancers that came to this audition, there were also a lot of submissions and I don't think I fully realized, I think it ended up being like 500 dancers or something that were auditioning here in LA, but there were thousands of submissions that got sent in. So I made a mistake that day. this was a big mistake. This is back when, so the Kodak, the audition was at the Nokia.
Yes.
The Nokia, for those who don't know, is downtown LA. Mm-hmm. I live in the Valley. Those things aren't close.
At all. 20, 25 minutes, depending on traffic.
No traffic.
Right.
Traffic. There we go. Mm. So I thought it was at the Kodak.
Oh. So you're in Hollywood, okay, y'all? So wait a minute, y'all. And y'all just got to know this. If you get caught in Hollywood and it's a traffic day and you're supposed to be downtown, talk about a freak out, right? Talk about a freak out.
Exactly. So here's me thinking I'm being smart. And I had, because of traffic, I decided to not drive. I was like, I took the train. So I was like, oh, exactly. There's a train stop right there. I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. I'm making the smart decision. I get down there. No, I don't see anyone. I was like, this is strange. I asked a security guard. He was like, no, you mean Entourage? And I was like, apparently Entourage was shooting there that day.
Oh, wow.
I was like, no. And I was trying to be covert because the whole, you know, whole thing was kind of like, you know, it's Michael Jackson. So I was like, you know, the MJ audition. He was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
So when did you figure out that it was like wrong place?
So I ended up after I realized no one knew what I was talking about, I looked back at my email and I saw that I was just at the completely wrong place. So I freaked out. And I had that moment where, and I'm so glad I made the decision I did, but I had that moment where I was like, if I go, I'm going to be super late. They're going to be, have taught the choreography. I'm not going to know the choreography. I'm going to look like an idiot. Should I just turn around and go home? I had that moment.
Wow.
And I said to myself, this is an opportunity you're never going to get again. At least try, at least go and try, see what happens. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So I went and I got there and I got downtown and I'm running. And I see these two women with lanyards. They clearly work at the Nokia. And they were like, you can stop running. There is a line around the block waiting to get in. So you're fine. I was like, oh, okay. still kind of freaking out. But I got inside and they were right. Then nothing had started. It was, there was a ton of dancers. It was a little on CP time.
So, that rock star time, as you call it, right? Oh,
there
just
we go. There we go.
Hours. They'll be here. Yeah. So amongst these 500 dancers landed a part.
Exactly.
How many dancers were hired?
So that was another part. When I got in, I went to the bathroom. There were two girls talking and they said, oh yeah, you know, there's only two girls that they're actually hiring. And I said, I'm sorry, excuse me, what? And they were like, oh, there's only two girls. Well, and then plus a swing. So I was like, so three girls all together. And they were like, yeah. And I went, I'm not getting this. I genuinely thought, oh, this is probably, because here's the other thing. I wasn't in the dance world as much as you would need to be.
Yes.
Because if the dance world is, can be somewhat incestual. They use the same people all over and over and over again. You know what I mean? And so, sorry, I don't mean that in a lewd way, but,
okay,
but I'm just
look,
saying they use,
like,
yeah, I know.
Use them.
They use the same sort of people all
yes.
the time. And
it's
so,
it's
understandable.
Okay.
You know, they're going to pick up the choreography, you know, they're easy to work with and they're professional. And so I get it. But I wasn't in that click with all of the choreographers quite yet, with a couple of them, but not with all of them. You know what I mean? And so I thought, and I didn't know, I had auditioned for Kenny once before. Kenny Ortega was the director.
I know who Kenny is.
Yeah.
Yes, I love Kenny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Kenny run into each other all the time at Casa Vega.
Oh.
And every time we see each other, no, we do a shot of tequila for Michael Jackson.
Because
we're going to get to move on a little bit because we got to get to the premiere. And you get the part.
So I got the part. So I don't know if I'm skipping forward now, son, to you. To meeting you the first time I met you. I don't know if you know this or you remember this or not, but I met you at the premiere, at the after party at the premiere.
Oh,
and
that after party was awesome. What happened?
I just remember seeing you and going, oh, it's a box. And my manager goes, oh, okay, you want to meet her? Here we go. And I was like, wait, no. And he beelined it for headed straight towards you. And I was like, oh, I'm not ready. So you came over and he introduced me and you were the nicest, kindest person, immediately just warm. And I was like, oh, yay.
Yes.
And you knew who I was. You were like, were you the girl that dropped to your knees when you found out you got the part? And I said,
That was me. I'm going to tell a quick story what we got in common with Michael Jackson.
Okay.
So I was an extra in the Remember the Time video. Okay. Literally.
Yep.
You didn't see my face, but my elbow made this great appearance, you know, going through, getting ready to give your mom some tea. So that was it. But the whole day, I just came to California. I was new. Yeah. I was like a glorified extra. But I got to watch Michael Jackson dance all day.
Yeah.
And it was the best experience. So the fact that now you were like the girl that the way you make the strut, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. But so unfortunately, and we're going to try to make the student not cry.
Yeah.
He passed. You know, I mean, this tour was going to be all that in a bag of chips. I mean,
it really was.
He was ready to show them that he is the king of pop.
Still.
Yep. You know, and always will be to me. I mean, no one has come as close. Chris Brown is starting to nibble at it a little bit. But Michael Jackson, I mean, just wow.
Yeah.
So how did you find out that he passed?
Oh, that was a hard day. We actually found out later than everyone else because we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We were there. That's the other thing is like, you know, these stages of grief, like we were in denial for a while because we had just been there with him the night before till like, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, like we were there the next day, warming up. We knew that something was a little weird because we weren't doing anything. We were just warming up. Nothing was really happening. So we eventually, Tyne, who's the other Tyne Steckline, the other female dancer, she got a text from a friend and she said, hey guys, do you know what's happening? And we were like, what? And she was like, a friend just texted me and said, are you still going out on tour? And we said, well, yeah, we leave in 8 days. And she was like, well, have you turned on the news yet? And we said, no. So we found a TV, we turned on the news, and that we found out through the news.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, what I was saying about denial, we all thought this must be a publicity stunt. We just couldn't believe it. And in our mind, we were like, well, wow, maybe this will just drudge up a whole bunch of publicity. I guess he's a smart man.
Another stunt or a stunt.
A stunt, you know? Yeah. Wow. That's what we were thinking.
So when did it become real?
It doesn't make any sense, but I remember walking outside and speaking to Travis Payne, who was our choreographer, and he had his sunglasses on and I could tell something was wrong. Mm. And I was like, we need to know what's good. The dancers, and at the time I was 27. I was one of the oldest of the dancers, which is crazy. I was the grandma. Yeah. I was like, I just felt like I needed to figure out what was happening. So I was like, we as the dancers, we need to know what's going on. Can you please tell me? And he doesn't do this, but he shut completely down. Like he almost wouldn't talk. And that's not completely out of character for him. So I was like, something's definitely wrong. So eventually Stacy, who was the assistant choreographer, came in and she was the one who told us. And it really, I still to this day, I'm getting chills thinking about it. It really was a hard thing to deal with, especially for me. My father passed when I was 17. Mm. I knew as soon as I booked, that's what, when I fell to my knees, when I found out I had booked this role, I knew that it was my dad. I knew how much I loved Michael growing up, how much I watched his videos and tried to, you know, mimic his dance. So it felt like
someone ripped your heart out.
Yeah, they ripped my heart out. It took me back to when I had lost my dad. I was like, wow. It's another big loss for me. And it was just really hard. It was really, really hard.
And I just want to say for me, I will never forget where I was. Like there's things in life that you'll never forget when they happen. Oh. Michael Jackson's passing was my moment.
So I have something about that. I remember being a kid and watching some documentary or something. It was about JFK and everyone saying, I remember where I was in the moment, da da da. And I thought to myself, as a kid, I thought to myself, who could that person be for me? The first person that came into my head was like Michael Jackson. If he ever passed, man, I'm sure I would remember exactly where I was, not thinking that I was going to be in the position that I exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And I was in Miami and I just remember seeing it come on and I was like, this is a joke, right? I literally,
you went through denial.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did. And then I was just, I couldn't move. I went and laid in the bed. I just took it so very hard mm-hmm. because I just feel like he was our childhood. He mm-hmm. was our everything, you know? Yep. So the fact that you did get to, you know, before he passed, experience some time with him, you know, yeah. just always treasure that. You know, that's because true. I believe with Michael, he wants us all to keep living and, yeah. and entertaining and shining. So we're going to talk more about your career because yes. I don't want to start crying. I'm trying to hold on to these lashes that I got put on. Okay. Okay. So now, after that, you then went on someone wanted you to be an usher at the funeral?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They asked us if we would usher at the funeral.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was, we were honored and we really, I remember Kenny talking to us beforehand and he was like, look, you guys, you gotta be the rock, you know, you gotta be the rock during this time. And so I know it's emotional, but really try and be, you know, strong during this period.
Wow.
There was one little moment that I did sort of enjoy that I wanted to dance all my life. I wanted to dance with Michael Jackson, but I wanted to be Janet Jackson. And so I remember the cars pulling up and we had to usher them out of the car into their seat. And we didn't know who we were going to get,
right.
But a car pulled up and it was my car. And one of the dancers went to one side and I had to go across and go to the other side. And as I was crossing, I saw that it was LaToya sitting on the right side where the other dancer went. And I went, I didn't get to get LaToya. But I went over to my side and I opened the door and it was Janet. And I swear to you, I heard Michael laugh. I heard him go... Like his little giggle.
Yeah. Like, gotcha. like gotcha. Oh my gosh. So you got to usher Janet.
I got to usher Janet. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Like I said, you got special moments.
True.
Those are their little gifts, you know?
It's true.
So anyway, we're going to move forward. You then went, we've got something else in common. I worked on the original 90210. We were the first Black family to be on there. We were the Popcorn Kings. I was the daughter and I got to be Jason Priestley's little chocolate, little drop.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I hear you worked on 90210, the reboot, correct?
That's right. That is correct.
Tell us about that experience.
So that happened right around the same time. So that was actually for that funeral, I was shooting at that time. And I had asked specifically to get that date off, but you know how it is on sets, things change all the time. And so at the very, very, like the day before, there was a change in schedule and all of a sudden I had to work that day. And I'm really good at like, you know, keeping my emotions in and like not, you know, I tried not to be in any source of drama on set, but we had asked for this from a long time before. And so eventually
don't do this to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, I've been there.
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
And it's sometimes those things, they're life changing. You're like, please,
it's true.
I asked for one day.
Yeah. And they got to the point where they were like, they realized like, even if she does come to set and she doesn't end up going to the funeral, she's probably going to be a mess.
So
not
let's
give
just,
a very
right.
good performance.
Yeah.
So let's just let her go. And they did. And I'm very grateful to them for doing that. But I had a really great time on that set.
Okay.
I got to work with some really good people, Mac Wilds, and you know,
Wilds? Did you really? I like him. I'll be liking his pictures all the time. I'll be like, okay, Mac, I do. Yes, I'm gonna go follow
so
you
great.
Next too.
There
so we'll
go,
be connected.
We
yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's move things a little bit forward because, girl, now here come another fine one in your career, Michael Ealy. Oh my God. Child, you got to work with him and Juliette Lewis on Secret Lies, where
That's
you played
right.
Amanda Warner, successful attorney, public defenders.
That's right.
Now, how did you get that job?
Just went in and auditioned. I will say, you know, it helps when you are connected in the business.
Yes.
I had a good friend that knew the director, and it was between me and one other girl. And I remember talking to my friend, and he was like, I know him. I will make a phone call right now.
Ooh, yes. Like, but see, can I say this to actors, young actors that are watching today? Like, you got to know, like, if you want things to happen, you got to be like in the place where things are happening. You know, she went from the islands to Orlando, a little bit on the East Coast, then to the West Coast. But then you got to build relationships. And it's about knowing the people and also showing up with the attitude of gratitude and working so that people will be like, I'll make that phone call for you.
Yes.
I mean, it is, I hate to say, it's a clicky kind of place.
It's true, but it's also, it comes from a genuine place. And, you know, I think people smell when they smell fakeness. you know what I mean? If you're not being genuine and real, they can tell. And if you are just a good person and you're easy to work with, then it makes people want to work with you.
Exactly. People like working with dependable people that they know that they can call and say, we've got to do this, or we need you on set at 5:45 a.m., which means you're getting up at 4:30 and leaving your house by, you know, you already know, child. Okay, right. So anyway, but what was it like working with Michael? Girl, whenever I see him, I'll be trying to be cool. But I'm like, this boy got to have some of the prettiest eyes. I think, Lord Jesus, how did he get his boy them eyes? And then he's got those lips. And I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just saying, you know, I'm a fan. You know, I'm cool when I see him. When I see him, I'm like, yo, what's up, Mike? You good? Yeah, all right. All right. I walk away and I'm like, damn. Okay. What was it like working with him, though?
That's so funny. It's so weird because I don't feel like I'm not necessarily like a method actor, but I do feel like something happens when I get into relationships with people on set that becomes real. And he was my brother on that set, and that felt real. Like, I felt like, oh, yeah, this is my big brother. So it's also weird now when I hear people that are like, oh my gosh, I'm like, oh, that's my brother. Like, you know what I mean?
You didn't feel nothing at all, girl.
It's weird. I should. I mean, he's a beautiful human being, clearly. Yeah. But no, he honestly, I just texted him the other day. He honestly feels like
your brother. I know. Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of, trust me, they're like my little brothers that, you know, I work with, but still fine is fine and Mike is fine. All right, let's talk about another fine one, girl. You like me, child. You done had all the fine men. You done work with Mr. Boris Kojo. Mr. Fine. I worked, I was on the road during the play with Boris for months. I got to kiss Boris I got to kiss Boris every night, and I enjoyed it. I did. I enjoyed kissing him every night, except when his wife was there. And I love Nicole. But Nicole, I'm just letting you know that when you showed up, I wouldn't get as good of a kiss because you was there that night. You know what I'm saying? But that's all right. But I love Boris because I actually had Boris on the show as well, too.
Nice.
Fox. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he told us all about his journey. You know, he couldn't even speak English. He learned speaking English off of TV.
I know. And he does a really good job. Like, you forget that, like, but then you hear him speak German, and you're like, oh yeah, that's definitely
it. So you guys worked together on Undercovers, and you worked as the lovable Lizzie. Did you enjoy that experience?
Oh my gosh, I had such fun on that. That was my very first lead role, my very first series regular. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That actually was right after 90210. So I had a great time. Gugu Mbatha-Raw, she was my sister. It was amazing. So that was also, J.J. Abrams did that. Yeah. And that was not too long after Lost, which I was a huge fan of. So I was really excited. He's another one who I remember going into that audition and being incredibly nervous because I was a huge fan. I loved Lost. I was so nervous. I walked into that audition and I shook his hand, and it was like, as soon as my hand touched his, I just melted. And I went, oh, this is
magic.
Easy. This is going to be easy. He's a chill person. He's just so, like, exactly what you would think he would be, just super nice, super warm, and has that ability to calm you down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I felt like that when I met Stephen Bochco. When I met Stephen Bochco, I went up for a show and just kind of was like, and something about the room was so it's how they embrace you. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And when you come in, it was like the room was like, cause sometimes you can walk in a room and you feel the tension. You know what I mean? And he was just like, "Hey, Vivica, how you doing?" And I was like, "Okay, I got this. Let's stay focused. Yep. You know, let's do more." Wow.
Yeah,
wow. So anyway, I want to move a little bit forward because I'm running out of time with you. I feel like talking to a baby sister.
I know.
You know, I do. Now you my baby sister, girl.
I like it.
And girl, you are just doing things right now. Okay. You are currently starring on ABC's The Rookie opposite Nathan Fillion. And you are a badass training officer.
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen? Yet again, somebody made a call for you?
Yeah, actually.
Damn. Okay, girl, get cast from phone calls. I love it.
So I went in for the chemistry read. I just had my managers did a great job with sort of getting me into this role. So they originally they were trying to get me a straight offer, but they wanted everyone to at least do a chemistry read with Nathan to make, and I get that you want to make sure that you have chemistry with the lead character. And so I went in for the chemistry read and it went really well. I really felt good about the audition.
I think Nathan likes chocolate. Because my girlfriend Tamala Jones worked with him on his other show that he had. What was that show?
Castle.
Yes, and I was a huge fan. Yeah. And I was just coming off of Kill Bill, and Tamala's like, "My friend Vivica Fox is going to wrote the girl wrote the." He came in there. He was like, "Well, hello." I was like, "It was a different kind of hello, girl." It was like a hello. The blues came through. You know what I mean? I was like, "Yeah, I would be in trouble," but no. So you guys had great chemistry. Yay.
We did. And he is such a kind, like, you know, as I'm sure you know, like it trickles down, right?
Yes.
If the number one is kind and respectful and a good worker, then it trickles down to everyone else. And he is. And I'm learning a lot from watching him and seeing him work. But that was one where I auditioned on a Monday, booked the job on Tuesday, and started working on Wednesday.
Wow. Quick. Let's go.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. And at the time, Zuri, my little daughter, she was 8 months old. And so it was a lot going into it. And they're introducing a new character. I came in the second season.
Okay.
And so they're introducing a new character. So they want the audience to get to know this character. So the character's working a lot. Mm. So last season was really heavy. As you talked about those 5:30 a.m. Ooh. Calls, you know?
Girl, yes. But you know, you do them and you're grateful for the work.
It's,
you know?
You really are.
And, you know, I love being on sets. I think that's the one thing I really, really miss. I miss going to the TV shows. Like, I've been promoting my movies all last week, and I miss doing my walkout, waving at everybody. I miss that stuff. Miss going to the studios. I mean, I've been making little independent movies, but I miss going to the studios, you know?
Yeah. We're going to have a whole conversation, maybe off camera, about you producing and all of that, because that's something I'd like to move into eventually.
Really? You see that? Do you see that next for yourself?
I do, actually. I'm getting my feet wet with a couple little projects right now.
Good.
But that is something I would like to do as well.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm actually headed to D.C. at the end of the month to do my directorial debut.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that, but I'm like, damn, here I go taking on another job.
No, I know.
But, you know, I love it because they're the different chapters in your career.
That's
that
exactly right.
I want to share with actors to know, plan for what's next. You can only play certain roles. You're only going to be a certain age for amount of time.
Yeah.
But if you gracefully plan for new chapters, it makes the journey that much more
better
for you. But anyway, I heard you mention your daughter, Zuri.
Yeah.
Yes. Tell us about your baby. She's what, 2 years old, correct?
She's 2 years old. Yeah.
Is she you? Is she a mini you?
Yes. Very much
That's
so.
That's what you get.
It's true. Very much so. She's really funny. We love the heck out of this little person that we made somehow. She actually made her her movie debut on a movie I did with Megan Good and Tamara Bass.
I love Megan.
On their directorial debut.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And it was funny because my character, the character was pregnant and I was pregnant with Zuri at the time. There were so many random coincidences, but I remember going into that audition and they thought, they were like, they thought I came with a fake pregnancy belly.
Wow. And you were really preggers.
And I was really pregnant. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So besides Zuri, you're happily married.
Happily married. Yeah. We've been married for 2 years, but we've been together since college.
Oh, no way. So girl, let me tell you something. That's a lifetime. And especially for, us as actresses, child. You know, I'm just trying to get somebody that to stick for 3 months. You know what I mean? I mean, like, hey, like, come on, bro. Get it together. So congratulations that your college sweetheart has turned into your husband. I mean, you are just a wonderful, wonderful lady. And we're getting toward the end. So
we could talk for forever.
I know we could. Okay. But I want a couple of quick questions I'm going to ask you. These are like my rapid fire questions.
Great.
What ways do you express your creativity?
If it's not through acting or singing or dancing, I paint. I like to paint. Yeah.
Okay.
I fiddle with guitar occasionally. I also edit, and it's something I really like doing. There was a scene in the If Not Now When movie I did with Megan Good, I asked if I could help edit one of the scenes, and they said sure. So yeah, just I like staying creative. I think it's really important as an actor to stay creative. As an artist, we're artists, you know?
Flexing those muscles, continuing to grow, right?
Totally,
like me, I'm actually a little bit scared that I'm going to be going, and action. You know what I mean? But I'm going to embrace it, and I'm so going to do it. The very first one, I'm going to do the very first one, very dramatic, and the very last one, just because I'm an actress. You know what I mean? And I hope someone catches it on film, just for me, okay? So listen, like you said, you're a hustler. Well, how do you think your hustle has made you become who you are today?
You know, it's one of those things, because I've been doing it for so long, because I started at such a young age, it's always just been something that I knew I was supposed to do. I knew I was supposed to perform, whether that be in regional theater where there are three people in the audience, you know what I mean?
Yes,
whatever it was supposed to be, that was what I was supposed to do. I have been blessed to been given some really great opportunities, but I think it is because I do the work. I do put in the effort. I do, you know, and also, like you said before, I am also, you know, just simple things like I come on time to work. You know, I know my lines.
Okay.
I am, I'm nice to people. You know what I mean? Things like that make people want to work with you more than one time.
Makia, I am just liking you more and more, child. We got to play sisters, or I'm the auntie. Or
yes.
Something. Okay.
I like it.
In closing, what drives you?
What drives me, as I hear my little one screaming upstairs, she's one thing that drives me now. But I think it is, what drives me?
It's the art.
It's my love and passion for what we do. I do think that what we do is important. I hear so many, inventors or scholars or whomever who are inspired because of a song that they heard or a movie that they saw or a play that they went to. They're inspired to do great things for the world. And I think that is really important. That inspiration is the spark that is needed, not just in actors, but in everyone to do more. So, so those are the things that drive me personally.
Yes. This is what I feel. I'm so grateful in life that I can do what I love to do. You know, like I like my job. You know, I like today talking to a beautiful angel like you with a great smile, who has a happy husband, has a beautiful marriage, has a beautiful child that I'm gonna let you get to. So, because I don't want to come, Mom, you're done. Enough of this today.
On Oops the Podcast, join me, comedian Giulio Gallerati, as I examine everyday life, the mistakes, the bad decisions, the goals, the jokes, the social engagements, and all things in between. I'm joined every week by producer and personal confidant Ryan Lynch, various other comedians, for witty, candid, and intoxicating conversation. Our listeners love Oops for sophisticated banter, aka your mom could listen, and many feel like they're in the room with us chopping it up with old pals. You can find every episode of the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube.
That leads us perfectly into today's hustle hack. Hashtag like attracts like. Darlings, keep it positive and more positive things will happen in your life. Positivity will fill your life with ways that you wouldn't even be able to believe. Something new that fills your life with joy, go do it. Like what you do. But as Makia said, you have to do the work. Success is not going to come to you. You are going to have to knock on success door. This one started 2.5, told her mama it was going to happen. And look at her now. She's traveled the world. She got to work with the late, great Michael Jackson. She's starring on television shows. Soon, I'm going to predict it for you, sweetheart. You're going to become a producer. But I just want to thank you for, it's good to see someone enjoy what they do. So darlings, create your own businesses. Keep working for your joy. So Makia Cox, I want to thank you so much for being on Hustling with Vivica A. Fox. Tell our fans where they can find you at.
They can find me on social media at Makia Cox. That's my name on Instagram or on Twitter.
Okay, are you verified? Because you know now we be, you know, you're starting to blow up. You know, folks be trying to have the Makia Cox fan club page or, you know, so it's Makia Cox.
If it's verified. Check to make sure there's the, the little blue dot.
Yes. Well, I just want to thank you, Makia Cox. You are wonderful, wonderful lady. You really are. I wish you the absolute best. I mean, it's just crazy that we went from a premiere to now here we are on my podcast. Dreams come true, right?
It's true.
But thank you, sweetheart. And darlings, you can find your girl at Miss Vivica Fox on Twitter. And I got my blue check too. And on Instagram at Miss V Fox. And also follow at Stage 29 Podcast. Okay, darlings, don't forget to subscribe, review, download Hustling with your girl, Vivica A. Fox. Until next time, darlings, bye for now. The Hustling with Vivica A. Fox podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended as a replacement or substitution for any professional medical, financial, legal, or other advice, diagnosis, or treatment. This podcast does not constitute the practice of medicine or any other professional service. The use of any information provided during the podcast is at the listener's own risk. For medical or other advice appropriate to your specific situation, please consult a physician or other trained professional.